Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Williamsburg, Virginia, and the 2003 regional meeting of the Philadelphia Society. My name is Lee Edwards, and I'm honored to be your chairman for this conference, which is entitled To the Republic for Which It Stands. If Philadelphia is the cradle of liberty, then Williamsburg is the maker of the cradle. It was here in this city, the capital of Virginia for almost all of the 18th century, that the Virginia House of Burgesses took decisive action on some of the most important issues leading to the American Revolution and independence. For example, when the British Parliament passed the Stamp Act in March of 1765, the American colonies strongly objected, arguing that since they were not represented in Parliament, that body did not have the authority to impose taxes on Americans. But the first colony to publicly oppose the Stamp Act was Virginia, with the adoption of the Stamp Act resolves. And a fiery young Patrick Henry proposed those resolves, declaring at one point during the debate, "If this be treason, make the most of it." Well, eight other colonies soon followed Virginia's lead. And it was the Virginia House of Burgesses in 1769 that protested the Townshend duties. George Washington, with some literary help from George Mason, proposed resolutions asserting that the sole right of taxing Virginians lay with the provincial government. And when the intolerable acts, including the closing of the port of Boston, were enacted in 1774, against Massachusetts, the Virginia legislature expressed sympathy for the citizens of Boston and called for a day of fasting, humiliation, and prayer. At about the same time, Thomas Jefferson wrote a summary view of the rights of British America, in which he argued that Parliament had no right to exercise authority over the colonies, that their actions proved a deliberate and systematical plan of reducing us to slavery. On June 12, 1776, at the Virginia Convention here in Williamsburg, George Mason introduced the Virginia Declaration of Rights, whose language anticipates the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights. Let me read, if I may, just one section. That no free government or the blessings of liberty can be preserved to any people but by a firm adherence to justice, moderation, temperance, frugality, and virtue, and by frequent recurrence to fundamental principles. As to the derivation of those principles, the next section refers to, quote, the mutual duty of all to practice Christian forbearance, love, and charity towards each other. If Virginia had done nothing else than to produce the Virginia Declaration of Rights, it would deserve our lasting gratitude. Russell Kirk argued that more than Jefferson, more than James Madison, George Mason institutionalized America's civil liberties. But that's not all he did. Mason, the gentleman who wrote most convincingly about Americans' rights, was among the most zealous Americans in the performance of our duties to our nation. So, it's in the spirit of George Mason who was a delegate to the Philadelphia Convention in 1787, refused to sign the new Constitution, and who insisted that until a Bill of Rights was added, the Constitution was not acceptable. It's in that spirit that we convene this conference to the Republic for which it stands.